What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Presidential Memoirs. We are back with Scott Saylor. I think this is the third time Scott has joined us to kick off National Athletic Training Month. Last year, we talked about your favorite CU events, and the first year when it was episode 200, we had him on here, and we were talking on Blab, and that was a pretty crazy conversation that day. I think I had like a 6 or 8 hour conversation with a bunch of different people. But again, it is March 1st. We are kicking off National Athletic Training Month, and it is my pleasure to have you back. So Dr. Scott Saylor, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/memoirs. So it's M-E-M-O-I-R-S, or you can Google how to spell it if you can't figure it out. That's what I had to do. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/memoirs, because we are just going to find out about your time there as president of the NATA. And I know you're going to be rolling off as president come June at the 2018 meeting in New Orleans. And so without much further ado, how are you, Dr. Saylor, celebrating National Athletic Training Month?
Oh, how am I celebrating National Athletic Training Month? Well, I changed my Facebook profile picture last night. There's some tools on the NATA website to allow to provide that. So I was able to change my banner and then actually superimpose I am an athletic trainer on top of that. It's interesting because March is a really busy month as far as meetings. So I really get to go around and be part of a bunch of really cool athletic training meetings throughout the United States during March. So that's probably the neat way I get to celebrate Athletic Training Month.
All right. Last time we had talked, you mentioned that you had the physical therapist coming into your athletic training facility as part of their learning environment. Have you had any more events like that scheduled to where you're bringing in different groups?
Well, it's been interesting because here locally, I haven't been around very much. In fact, even this semester, I'm on sabbatical from the university, so I don't have technically any responsibilities other than NATA president and working on some projects that I had proposed for my sabbatical. So that's why you see me here in my kitchen. I am in Fresno. It's one of the days that I have been home, though I've had a pretty hectic travel schedule last few weeks, but it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. We are working on some collaborative projects, though, with our physical therapy program here at Fresno State. And I actually just was in Indianapolis, got a chance to visit the University of Indianapolis, UIndy as they call it. And their program's just moved into a brand new building that has many different healthcare professions. And I know that we toured their simulation lab that is run by the nursing program, it sounds like. But what I always find when we get these interprofessional opportunities is we have these different groups, these entities that love, once we get involved as athletic training, they love our participation because of what we bring and the different aspect and viewpoint that we bring to the conversation. So I really encourage when we have the opportunities to reach out and try to collaborate on different things. You know, healthcare today is a team sport, and we've been doing it as a team sport for many, many years. So we have a lot to bring to that conversation.
All right, very good. That is one of the coolest things that stands out, was just the fact that, you know, you brought those people in and they're like, oh, hey, you guys do this. You know, your athletic trainers do this. And it's just one of those things that I continue to remember as I have conversations with people outside of athletic training. And, you know, you just, hey, yeah, come see what I do. Or, yeah, this is what I do. And you just share that. And then they get to learn a little bit rather than you just forcing it down. You just kind of let them experience it on their own time and on schedule. So,
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, final few months as president of NATA, what do you think are some of the most memorable moments that you have?
Well, I've been thinking about that ever since we settled on this title of memoirs. And I thought of a few different areas that were very interesting to me that I learned along the way. The first, and I may have mentioned this before, but even though I had been on the board of directors for 6 years, I'm one of the last directors that has been on for 6 years. Now the terms are actually shorter, but I was on for 6 years. I was off for a little while because we do the election in October, or September, and we learn about it, the results at the end of September. So really from June of 1 year until October, I wasn't on the board, but that's a very short period of time. We don't actually aren't all that busy during that time. And then since then I have been on, I've been president for 3 years, almost 3 years. And then the shadowing during that year. But what it's been amazing to me is how much I didn't realize the president does, and the responsibilities of the president. And I'm not really talking about the so much the heavy responsibilities like decision making or anything, because we do have a lot of input and a lot of great people that contribute to that. But the number of meetings that we hold and the opportunities to sit in different offices has just been an eye-opening experience, even though I had had all that experience and thought I'd seen what the president does. When we were tallying up the travel that I had done, I think in 2015, in preparation for letting the potential candidates for president 14, I'm president 13, but when we were tallying those up, my travel in 2015, I think we saw that I had traveled 90 days out of the year. So that was 3 months. And that's quite a bit. I actually think I traveled more in 2016. It might actually travel even more so in 2017. But the going into the position, I thought, well, I've got 10 district meetings. Try to make it to all of those. We have board meetings. That's about three times a year, not counting the annual meeting. So I was kind of in my mind putting these together and thinking, well, I do most of that travel, or I do a lot of that travel anyway. I guess I don't go to district meetings, but it's amazing how many other opportunities we have to have special meetings that we host or meetings that we're putting together. For example, when I just came back this week from the Professional Football Athletic Trainer Society, they have a meeting in Indianapolis a few days before the NFL Combine every year. So I've gone to that meeting every year for the last, I guess this is my fourth time going, which is pretty cool. They're a great group of professionals. It's all the athletic trainers of the NFL, head and assistants and so on. But while we were there, we met with the National Federation of High Schools. Like I mentioned, I already went over to University of Indianapolis. We had a meeting with the NFL, a representative from NFL. We tried to meet with NC2A. Their headquarters is there, but they already were busy with some other meetings. But it's these things that that these opportunities that come up that are really cool, because, and I didn't realize they would exist until I got in this position. So those are kind of neat things that I kind of learned along the way. But I was thinking of two other areas that are kind of interesting if I was kind of writing down my memoirs, and they fall into two categories: the places that I've had an opportunity to go, and then the people that I've had an opportunity to meet and get to know better. And the people are definitely the best part. But I really grew up in the Midwest and then moved out here to California. With my family, we would travel around and visit different places, but we're very, where they were pretty typical, Disneyland or Grand Canyon or whatever. I mean, the kind of standard things. I'd never been to New York City before I became president, and now I go twice a year. I know my way around. I've ridden on a New York subway. Boston, I think I could find my way around Boston really easy at this point, because I've been there so often, and as well as Philadelphia. I had an opportunity to represent NATA in Monaco at the International Olympic Committee Prevention Conference. That was, if you can go to Monaco, I highly recommend it. It's a pretty cool place, but that conference is a really cool one too. But the people from all over the world that are there, that's just amazing. Last year we were able to, through some relationships we had with members of Congress, they had a topic on sports safety, and and issues like that. And I got to represent us and read a statement to a congressional committee on Capitol Hill, which was like an amazing experience. So some of those things, I've been to the Japanese Athletic Trainers Organization meeting twice. So I've visited Tokyo and just came back just a couple weeks ago from Osaka, Japan. Incredible group of professionals there. It's just amazing. I'd never been to Japan or anywhere in Asia. So that was pretty cool experience. Been to Spain twice. The World Congress of Athletic Training and Therapy was held in Madrid. I feel like I have some friends that are in Barcelona and Madrid now that never would have crossed my path if I wouldn't have had this position. So that's been really, really a neat opportunity. So seeing all kinds of parts of the world from, I mentioned New York, but of course our district meetings are held all over the place. I head to D.C. this week. I feel like I can navigate Washington, D.C. pretty easily at this point, know my way around, know where to find the restrooms and the restaurants. And then I'll head to Atlanta, Georgia, and go to the CETA meeting. And that's always a great meeting. But it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. Sometimes you go someplace like when I went to the EAT meeting this year, it was in Boston. I actually got delayed a day because of the terrible weather conditions in Boston, and then got to the hotel and of course couldn't really leave the hotel because it was so cold and icy. And I think it was -2, wind chill was minus something like 24. It was crazy. So I did, but it doesn't matter because our people are there, and it's really the relationships, the people I get to be around that are the best part of this job. The people that I've gotten to meet, the people that I feel like I can call friend, and they can call me, I can call them if an issue comes up. It's pretty cool. I didn't think about the opportunity to meet presidents of other associations, whether they be domestic or international. I've spent a lot of time with the folks from Canada, and they've got a great group up there. I go to that meeting every year. As I mentioned, there's a tremendous group of people who take care of athletic injuries in Spain, and going there and touring the FC Barcelona training facility and kind of getting to see how they manage sports injuries was an eye-opening experience. I feel like I'm a lot better off for kind of getting this international perspective. But other presidents domestically, like presidents of American Medical Society for Sports Medicine or executive directors of those associations. And that's another meeting that I didn't realize that took place and the president goes to, and just happened to go to that a couple of weeks ago, but it's called the Joint Commission on Sports Medicine and Science. It actually was, I know that our previous executive director, Eve Becker Doyle, was instrumental in pulling this group together, but it's really groups that are interested in sports medicine from all throughout the country. So it can have everything from podiatry to, like I said, AMSSM to public health, ACSM, NETA, of course, dietitians. It's just a whole group of folks, and our main interest is really healthcare for our physically active population. So, you know, meeting those folks, they're all great. And it's been really an eye-opening experience for me.
See, with the podcast, that's one of the things that I really enjoy is the opportunity to meet people. Because honestly, if I hadn't had the podcast, you and I hadn't met at SWATA, and then now that, like I said, this is our, I think, fourth time talking, we wouldn't really know each other, right? So you'd just be that guy up there at NATA, and I would just be this guy down here in Pasadena. But now I can, hey, Dr. Saylor, I got a question about this, and you know, oh yeah, yeah, hey Jeremy, no problem, right? And so I think it's really cool that I have the opportunity to meet and talk with you. And again, being involved in GHATS, which is our local Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, for me has allowed me to become friends with some of those athletic trainers that are leaders, and you know, forming friendships outside of just the GHATS meeting. Somebody I can call and say, hey, you know, I'm having a barbecue this weekend, you want to come? Something like that. That's part of the thing that I love about being involved as well. So,
yeah, You know, and unfortunately that, you know firsthand what it's like to go through tragedy. And as you all got hit hard with the hurricane, and we've seen that throughout other parts of the country, but it's been, we hate to have those things occur, but it's amazing to see how our people rally together to support one another. And that's been a really cool thing to observe also. So, yeah. Yeah, it's the people, you know, a couple other people that I didn't really, I knew them, but I didn't know them as well as I know them now. And that's our NATA staff, and primarily our executive director, Dave Sadler, and our associate executive director, Rachel Oates. They travel around, you know, I'm rarely at a meeting. In fact, I'm a little uncomfortable when I'm at a meeting that one of them's not there. They're kind of my wingman. They're the ones that help guide me and direct me and help me figure out, you know, the best way to deliver a message. And we run ideas by each other, and we talk about what the future looks like and how do we accomplish some of those things, and what can we do to help our board be as effective as it possibly can be. And they really become great friends, and they'll be one of the biggest parts that I miss transitioning off of this position. But I know they'll be friends, continue to be friends. It's just the regular interactions what I'll miss.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you know, you met a lot of people, you've been to a lot of places, you learned a lot about the position of president, but what did you learn about yourself as a person, as an athletic trainer, in taking on this role as president?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I do think I learned a lot, or kind of grew a lot. The biggest things that I had learned was related to kind of the interaction with people, and the ability to kind of process. There are often times that people disagree with what's going on, and I don't want to say oftentimes, you know, I actually haven't had to deal with it all that often, but occasionally you'll have membership that will say, why are we doing this? Or why are we doing that? Sometimes they tell you something that you didn't even know was going on, because there's so much stuff going on nationally, all over the place. But then there are other times that they're misinformed. They don't know that, that we actually are working on certain things. You know, they have frustration just like our board often, that things aren't moving fast enough. We'd like to make the decision and have it implemented everywhere and the world change in a moment, but it just doesn't happen that way. So I've had to learn patience in regard to that, and realize that my opportunity is really to lay some groundwork for some things that will be coming later. I have also had the opportunity to finalize some things that were started before me. So those are neat. But back to the people part, it's really a matter of, I realize that I need that I'm better at listening to what they're saying rather than listening to the emotion with which they say it. Because often, even if I disagree with the way they might deliver a message, sometimes the message might have value. So I don't want to discount that message. I want to hear the message and see if there's something we can do to make things better once I get the message.
All right, very good. So you just talked about sometimes athletic trainers disagree, or they're like, hey, why aren't we doing this? Or you guys, y'all aren't doing enough, or that kind of thing. So from the, you know, kind of the top-down view, what are some things you've learned about athletic trainers in general?
Wow. Well, that the people that are involved often are very passionate about what they're involved in, which is really cool. And that's the kind of person you want to be around. I don't know that I've ever run into anyone that wants us to go backwards. We all want improvement, and we all want it to get better. And often we care about the same things. I visited Nova Southeastern University a few weeks ago, as I was out going out to that Joint Commission on Sports Medicine and Safety. I visited the students at Nova Southeastern. And one thing that I one of the students asked me there was, what are we doing about salaries and what are we doing about work conditions? And those are things that are, you know, at the core of a lot of what we try to work on within NATA is improving the recognition of our value as healthcare professionals and those types of things. But I realized that in certain parts of the country and in certain work settings, it hadn't moved very quickly. But one thing I can see as president, because I travel around, is I see the opportunity. I get to see places that have taken circumstances that might exist in one part of the country today. They've previously existed in other parts of the country, but those individuals in that part of the country have been able to make a difference and change that, kind of move the dial. But it doesn't happen overnight. And that's unfortunate because the people involved would like it or need it to happen overnight. Sometimes we lose them because it's not happening quick enough.
All right. So in the next 3 months, you said you're on sabbatical. Your primary responsibility is some projects and then being president of NATA. So once, you know, July 1st or whatever it is that the official date is hits, what do you think you're going to look back and say, I am a better athletic trainer because of this? Like how have you improved as an athletic trainer?
Yeah, I think one thing I've been able to do is see a wider scope of how athletic training is done throughout the country. There are different places that are actually moving forward and progressing in ways that I hadn't imagined before I got an opportunity to see them. I really think the biggest thing is that I've been around some really sharp athletic trainers that are leaders, whether they hold a position or not. They're leaders within their work setting, and their attitude and their way of viewing, their perspective on healthcare in these settings, and in whatever setting they work in, those are things that I'm bringing back with me. Those are things that I look forward to implementing when I'm back, kind of able to. That's the people ask me what I'm going to do when I'm done, and my response is, well, my plan is to take all these great ideas that I've seen from all throughout the country and all throughout the world and try to put them to use here locally, in my community and in my university. What I haven't had time to do because I've been so busy with doing NATA president stuff is really bring those ideas back home. And I think, you know, my university, my employer, they've been very gracious to let me go do these things. The reward to them should be that I make our place better when I get the opportunity.
Very good. Okay, so we know that Tori Lindley is following you this year, but somebody else, maybe one of those young professionals that you're talking about when you were at the University of Indiana, I probably said that wrong, but they want to be in leadership. They want to be the president of SWATA or their local organization and then continue and be the president of NATA. What would you say to them?
Well, first off, I never thought about being president of NATA, so it kind of just evolved. So they may not be thinking it right now, but I think there's a lot of benefit to them getting involved today in things. One, I think they'll grow as leaders, even if they take on small responsibilities in your local or regional or state or district. Because when we get out there and put ourselves out, we learn about ourselves as well as about interacting with other people. So putting yourself in a position where you might, you know, my first job as in volunteer world was to sell T-shirts at the district meeting. Not a really crucial, high impact responsibility, but one thing it did was it got me around people that I learned a lot from, that were leaders that helped shape my future and my thinking, and that helped prepare me for whatever was next. Whatever was next happened to be district secretary and then director and then eventually NATA president. But I didn't know that at the time, but I knew that I'd be a better person The other thing is those individuals themselves, it's helpful when you get involved, you get to meet, as you've said with the podcast, you get to meet some folks that you never would have met otherwise. And when you're struggling with those things professionally, where, you know, whether it be patient-centered or whether it be interaction with supervisors or whatever, you know, sometimes it's hard to go to family and friends because they don't understand exactly what we do and how we do it. And to have some colleagues that you can call and say, hey, have you had to deal with this before? Or what do you deal? Or just vent, you know, it's nice to have that. And that's what I think professional associations, one of the benefits of it, of a professional association. I think you can, you know, for young professionals or even guest seasoned professionals, a lot of times you hear about jobs and opportunities in professional meetings too. So I think there are a lot of benefits of getting involved, and you don't have to start as NATA president. You can start selling t-shirts or helping at registration or whatever. And that leads to lunch with a couple folks during a break. And then you meet them and realize what great folks they are. And then you just develop those relationships. And after a while, you have just a treasure trove of people that are pouring into your life, and you're able to help pour into their lives too.
I actually got started with G Hats because they were looking for somebody to do the website. And I was like, you know, honestly, it hasn't been kept up. Like it's a couple weeks before the event that we have coming up, and I don't even know about it. And somebody was transitioning off of the website duty, and I was like, you know what, I can do that. I can sit at home and I can do that. Well, I did that from sitting at home. And then I went to some of the meetings, and now I'm a regular part of going to the meetings or being involved in some of the decisions. And I haven't taken on any of the leadership roles there because I like doing the website. But Josh Woodall, the current president of SWATA, said, hey, Jeremy, I know you do a really good job with the G-Hats website. Would you consider helping with the SWATA one? And, you know, at this point, I say, I've got to focus my attention here, but it's something I'm going to look forward to in the future. And just like you said, just being involved small, I'm just sitting here behind a computer, but now I'm kind of in a leadership position, and it just grows. It wasn't like I was like, hey, let me see if I can, you know, be part of this and this and this. It was like, well, I think I can help here. And it just grows from there. So
yeah, that's awesome. And actually, the whole attitude was the best thing that I picked up on that. And your attitude was different than some people's attitude. You may not even realize it, but some people, all they would want to do is complain about the website. You were willing to complain about the website and help fix the website. And those are the kind of folks that are really helpful to have around, is somebody says, hey, all right, this sucks, but I can help you make it better. And I've tried to surround myself with people like that.
Very cool. All right, Dr. Scott Saylor, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we look back and we say, you know, the 13th president of NATA, we remember him for blank. What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, my. That's a really hard question. I try to think about the things, not so much that I would be known for, but things that happened during my period of time as NATA president. Because a lot of the stuff that happened during this period of time were some great things that were possible because of the work of other people, our volunteers in other areas. It's not solely the work of me, or in some case, not even remotely the work of me. So, but I will say one of the best things that's developed, and actually started under Jim Thornton, that's why I kind of couch it that way, is AT's Care. AT's Care is that program that when people are dealing with a traumatic event, whether professionally or personally, they can reach out, and it's a peer support group. And we're in the process of training regional individuals that can reach out to folks when we've lost an athlete or even a loved one, and connect with us on a peer-to-peer level. And, you know, kind of understand, back to that whole idea of understanding what we do and who we are, and the pressure we feel in those situations. It's the thing that as I've gone around the country and talked about things, though, that's the program that has come to the surface as being the most impactful one that I think NATA has done in many, many years. So that's been pretty amazing. You know, Chuck Kimmel, who was president 10, let's see, 11? Nope. So anyway, I missed I'll forget that I'm 13 at some point, even though we often refer to ourselves amongst the presidents. They like to use their numbers. So like I'll call Jim Thornton and he's 12, Bill Chambers is number three. So, we'll write a message, say three, what's going on. But anyway, Chuck, I think that's the wrong term because nobody reigns, but his leadership, we sued the APTA and the federal government. And I thought, wow, those are pretty big things to do during a presidency. I think Mark Smaha, what he's known for is he had to fire our first executive director, that Alan Smith, and not that that's necessarily something he likes being known for, but it was a tough period of time and it's a tough thing to go through. He had to kind of maneuver that situation. So I don't know. I think it'll be up to the historians to figure out what happened under Shaler, but I do think that we've had an opportunity to do a lot of different things and see a lot of things implemented. People will probably give me credit for some of those things. The reality is it's a team of people and I probably had very little to do with it. I just got the opportunity to really go be a cheerleader or spokesperson for something. And because it's really other people that have made a lot of great strides and a lot of improvements in our profession over the last few years.
All right. Very, very good. Everybody here on the podcast knows how I feel about the AT's care program. You know, we had an athlete that died here. I was part of the ones performing the CPR, and I went through the training last year when it was in Houston, and I'm a very big proponent for the program. And I think it's personally, the training has helped me in dealing with the way I deal with my kids, my family. And, you know, we had an athletic trainer close to us who did CPR and saved a kid, did CPR 2 weeks later, and the kid didn't survive. And so just like that, I was able to reach out because I had an idea rather than just like, oh, I don't know what to say. So yeah, that's a super awesome program that I recommend everyone go to if you get the chance.
Thanks for being involved in that. That's great to hear. And we are actually having training at almost every district meeting, I believe, this year, so you can get involved in that. And you bring up a very good point, which we like to tell the world about our successes in healthcare. And one of those is when a life is saved by an athletic trainer, which is awesome. We also have to realize that we can do everything we're trained to do and we can do it perfect. And it doesn't always result in saving a life, but that doesn't mean that we're any less important. The preparation that we had so that we were ready to do what we could do is a value, and it's an asset to whoever we work for and wherever we happen to be providing care. That's really great. I'm glad it worked out in your situation.
So, all right. One of the things that you talked about was recording all the data. One thing I want to encourage all the listeners is start collecting data in the copy of this show notes. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/memoirs. I've put a link to what I use for a record of hours. Again, it's just basically a Google Doc. And then I also have a link in there to what we use for a student sign-in. So as soon as a student comes, they sign in on a computer. So collecting that data, that's important. That's how Dr. Shaler was able to talk with so many of those different organizations saying, you know, hey, this is what we're doing because we have this data, we have this information, we have the salary survey, we have all these different things. So start collecting it and look at the NATA position improvement guide. But start right here, right now. As soon as you get done listening to this, just click on those, make a copy of them, make it work for your situation, start collecting it. And then once you have it, you can do lots of different things. So Dr. Shaler, with it being National Athletic Training Month, I don't want to let you get away without saying thank you to at least one athletic trainer. So who would you like to thank and why?
Well, I really like to thank one of my mentors from undergraduate who encouraged me to pursue this presidency thing. And his name's Paul Schechter. Fortunately, he's still alive and living here in the Fresno area. He was an undergraduate mentor for me. He's retired now, but I left for a few years, and he actually hired me back, and I've been back here at my alma mater for 26 years now. So if not for him, I don't know where I'd be, and my family's thankful for him. And his colleague, his peer, my other mentor, Ed Ferreira, Ed's passed on, so I'll save the shout out to him, but I'll definitely include Paul at this point because I owe him a great debt of gratitude.
Very good. I also asked that question on Twitter, and Chris Strobaugh wanted to thank Ron Walker. He said without Ron, which is on Twitter, Dr. Captain Ron, he would have never considered AT as a major, and nor would he have stayed in the profession. So he's been more impactful on his education and career than he ever could have imagined. And he's going to continue to thank him. Here's one way here on the podcast, but even in person or interacting on Twitter. So start collecting data. That's the call to action. But also, it is never a good time to skip thanking somebody. So as you think about somebody, shoot them a text, email, tweet, whatever it is. Say, hey, thanks for taking out the trash today. Thanks for, you know, helping me get past this difficult situation. Like you're saying there, your mentors, you don't know where you would be, and you never do. You never know where you would be without that person. So Dr. Scott Saylor, somebody wants to get a hold of you. What is the best way to do that?
Email is probably the best. And my email address is ssaylor. So it's ssaylor at mail, which is mail dot fresnostate.edu.
All right, so if you want to get a hold of Dr. Saylor, you want to find out more about their program there at Fresno State, you want to find out about being a president, or just some of the work that he did there with the Japanese Athletic Trainers Association, anything like that, then you can email him. Again, I have that email there in the show notes, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/memoirs. And for Jeremy, Dr. Scott Saylor, again, kicking off National Athletic Training Month, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for serving and leading us as we continue to improve athletic training. And that is a wrap.